We're good. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the January 2nd, 2019 meeting of the Willmar Planning Commission. I want to introduce everyone to Christina Nelson, the newest member of our commission. Thank you for serving.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll go to the second item, consideration of the minutes of the December 5th, 2018 meeting.
Do we want to go around and do introductions of everyone for Christina?
Oh, we can do that after we do the minutes. How does that sound?
Okay, yep.
I don't multitask well.
Well, that's fine. Let's do the minutes. That's not a problem.
A motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any additions, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor of filing the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. This is the 7:01 p.m. public hearing for unique opportunities, planned unit development, conditional use permit public hearing. Public hearing procedures are as follows. Everyone who wants to speak will be allowed to do so. Please make all your statements and questions, direct them to the chair. All statements should be as factual as possible. Please refrain from repeating what has already been said and do not involve personalities. Before speaking, state your name and address for the record. Staff will furnish the Planning Commission with all pertinent information concerning the request. The applicant and his or her representative will then comment on the request. Those in support of the request will testify, then those opposed to the request will testify. Comments will then be taken from those wishing to provide additional testimony. The applicant will then have the opportunity to make final statements, and any opposition will then have the opportunity to make final statements. At the close of the public hearing, no additional testimony may be offered except those comments in response to questions from the commission. With that, I'll ask Sarah to introduce this matter for us.
Absolutely. So tonight before us, we will see two different applications regarding the same development. I will go through the majority of the details and just kind of get them all out of the way for this first one, and then we'll talk about what we're actually approving for each one. Remind me later. Okay, so for point of reference, this particular development will take place on 15 acres on County Road 5 in the northwest portion of town. The map currently does not reflect it, but as some of you may remember, the northern 9, almost 10 acres of this property have been officially annexed into the city, and that was approved by the state at the end of December. The property was annexed as R5, which is our highest density residential zone. The land will be platted, and that's kind of that next portion that we'll see. Each building footprint will average about 23,000 square feet. We're looking at a four-building development, each building having 72 apartment units inside. I think everyone, there should be enough handouts spread around. The handout, the colored handout with the buildings on it, show the proposed layout of the development. There'll be two kind of straight buildings and two L-shaped buildings. One building will be built each year for 4 years. There is proposed stormwater.
Did you get these?
I got it on here.
Are these different?
Good. Yeah, send him this one.
He needs just
that
this one?
Yeah.
Is there one more?
No.
No.
You got that. That one's updated.
Oh.
Even more.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The lot meets the minimum density and lot size under PUD standards. planned unit development allows for the development to be slightly more dense than what the normal zoning ordinance standards would be, but it requires that it not be two times more than what the ordinance allows. So it's within that standard. They are requesting 20-foot setbacks along all interior and rear lot lines for a planned unit development. Any setbacks along the very exterior of the property lines have to meet zoning ordinance standard, which they all do. So the only variance would be like inside between these buildings, those lot lines would be a little bit closer than what ordinance standard would normally allow. There are 579 parking spaces provided currently. 576 are required. That would be two spaces per unit. The stormwater we mentioned, that's planned on the western side of the property there, subject to be approved by engineering. City water and sewer mains are available. Water and then electric as well. We have had some discussion today about the sewer, and we can talk to them in detail about it. Basically, it's available. It's just a matter of what engineering approves and what the developer chooses, what route he chooses to go. As of right now, the sanitary sewer in County Road 5 is at capacity. So there would be some different things that would need to happen with that one. What engineering has proposed is to extend the western interceptor so that everything would flow by gravity, and then there would be capacity. Everything would flow just fine there, and we wouldn't have any trouble. With that, the plat we will see has 9 parcels. We'll talk about that more later. Each building would sit on one, and then the driveway or the parking lot is divided into 4, with one outlot for access to the landlocked parcels. This would be workforce housing, so 80%, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, would be market rate with no income restrictions. It's close to the college, close to transportation corridors. There's lots of green space planned on the property. There is a city park just to the southwest abutting this particular development, which is always a perk. There are some road improvements. We have been in conversation with the county. There's going to be a need for an extended center turn lane to accommodate increase of traffic in this area, especially near the college and just County Road 5 being as busy as it is. With that, I think I will turn it over.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. And this, Mr. Herzog
yes.
here to the developer to speak about the project. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Nothing significantly. I'm Samuel Herzog. I live at 213 West Vernon in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And I'm the developer on the project. We came in, we met with the city economic development as well as local real estate agents to try to find a location that would really fit Wilmer's needs and the needs of the project we wanted to do. And after looking at multiple different sites in the community, this seemed to be the one that would affect residential areas the least and still have the amenities we needed in the area. It's also going to be close to the college, like was mentioned, as well as transportation corridors, so I think that's a positive. And really, I feel like it's a very good location for what we're looking to do.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would wish to speak about the project? Okay. Aaron, do you have anything you want to add?
Aaron Backman, EDC Executive Director. It's been great working with Samuel. He's been cooperative in terms of when I've asked for information. He's met with Bruce. We showed him, as he indicated, various locations. He has developed several hundreds of other units in other communities in greater Minnesota. So that has included hundreds of units in Alexandria and in Marshall and other locations. And so this is not his first rodeo in terms of working on housing projects. They do want to have a good quality unit that's in there with various amenities. And they will have they have a good administrative kind of approach to how they handle maintenance and so forth. So we're excited about that. There's a definite need for housing, and I think this is a good good combination between an experienced developer and having a location that I think makes sense.
Okay, thank you. All right, anyone else?
I just add from a staff standpoint that I think this project has the greatest potential to impact housing affordability in this community that we've seen for a long time, with the potential number of units and the rent structure where they're proposed to be. For that reason, our council has gotten behind this project and will be discussing next Monday the creation or the approval of a tax increment financing plan for this particular project to assist the developer with some of the financing costs.
Okay. Anyone else who wishes to speak before the public hearing? All right, hearing none, then I will close the public hearing and we'll bring the matter to the commissioners for their questions and comments. Sarah, you were saying on here, right, do I take it right now, this Western Interceptor extension would have to be built in order to accommodate?
Yeah, the Western Interceptor comes up to this point, which would be First Avenue,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. First Avenue and 33rd. So it would, the extension would be this dark blue line, which would come further west and then north up
to... Can you lay that on? Or just kind of follow your finger out so people can see?
Oh, yeah. So it starts here. We would come out this way and north all the way up to 33rd. Or past 33rd and then on to 7th Avenue. To reach the development, which is here, it would be proposed that it would go north...
They're showing on the east side
of the
park.
On the east side of the park,
north
up here.
Yeah.
And then it would access right there.
And that permits everything up in that northwest area to drain gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the biggest constriction in that system is the lift station on Highway 12 that takes the County Road 5 flows. And that is full. And that's exactly why the Western Interceptor was constructed a couple years ago up to this point.
Okay.
I think at that point the council might have thought it was premature to go that far with it, but after seeing what's going on out in the area, the industrial park, and seeing the demand that we're facing now, I think it was a wise decision to get it as far as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Will that still be, with that interceptor put in there, is that still going to be accommodating any other development out there, or would it have to be more extension?
Oh, it'll have, I mean, it's basically designed to go almost all the way along.
Okay.
How will that work impact Public Works' schedule this year? Because it sounds like it needs to be done in 2019.
I don't think it'll have a huge impact on Public Works. It's basically design and letting the contracts and monitoring the construction. We've got the in-house staff to do the bulk of the design. I'm thinking there will probably be some outside assistance for this simply because we're short an engineer in our department. So we're probably going to have to go outside for some engineering assistance on this one. But we'll get it in the schedule for this season. It shouldn't be a problem from a scheduling and construction standpoint.
Okay.
Well, it won't be completed until summer of 2020. On the first unit, anyway.
Yeah,
that's the time frame they're looking at. Obviously, this isn't that difficult a project to dig in, and it's pretty wide open country, a lot of it, and a contractor, given any kind of decent weather, is going to really move quick on this project, and I would think they'd have it available late summer, early fall, probably have the line done.
What about the turn lane extensions and any upgrades to the to the county road in that area. Do you have anything from the county addressing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can talk about more of those staff comments during the plat too, but basically Mel Odens, the county engineer, said an approach permit is required. It'll be required that this section of County Road 5 be converted to a three-lane section by adding a lane along with appropriate turn lanes for safety. Right-of-way is adequate, therefore no additional right-of-way width required to be dedicated. And then he just wanted to develop either a development agreement with the county or adding the county's pieces in with the city development agreement.
Okay. Jeff?
How will the parking lot, you're starting way up on the northwest corner.
Yep.
Are you going to do all the center stuff, all the parking, or part
you know,
of that first?
It'll a lot of it will come down. The final engineering hasn't been done on the site. Until we get the final approvals, it won't be. But what I would anticipate is the parking lot will be phased, but likely both the entrance and exit will be built initially, so you have the ingress and egress. So even though there might just be a 25-foot lane for the egress section that we're not using until the rest of the parking lot's developed, we'll have the ingress and egress initially, even for the first building, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All the site grading will occur.
The site grading will occur initially, even though all the asphalt may not be laid and all the garages won't be built initially.
So is one of these two driveways going to be in and one out, or are they both going to be in and out?
I think they're both in and out, but I that would be my assumption.
Yep, I think they should be.
Yeah,
they're wide enough.
There'd be no reason not to.
I think it says it somewhere.
Just the way. Okay, that's fine. That's what I was hoping.
I think the big reason they wanted two of them too was for fire trucks. Should there ever be an issue, it's a lot easier for them to loop instead of having to try to follow the same entrance.
I will note the driveway proposed access is 30 feet. Which is within what we allow. So there's no problem with that.
Okay. And it looks like there's about 100 yards or so between the two entrances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a project of this size, it lays out very well on this site. It's a 15-acre site. It's not a little piece of ground. It's a nice size site. Mm-hmm. And the topography lends itself well to the stormwater system as well that'll have to be constructed on the site. So it's, I think Mr. Herzog did a good job of selecting a site for this type of project.
On the last project that we looked at up by the Sunwood, that they're putting that 24 unit in Cottage View, we had a lot of questions about the dumpsters. I see there's like two locations with four dumpsters. And we require them to have that covered.
Yeah,
just looking at that.
Covered or screened?
Huh?
Covered or screened?
Both are required by ordinance, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just looking at 200 and whatever it is, 70.
288.
288 units. It looks like you've got like eight dumpsters here. I'm just wondering if, you know, first of all, you have a problem with doing something to keep them covered so that the trash doesn't blow around.
Yeah, I guess the question, I by covered, I'm assuming you're meaning a roof.
That's what
I guess.
We
always build an enclosure, is what we would call it.
Yeah, that's usually what we see. It's just the dumpsters that have the lids, which they all come with.
Okay,
stay closed, and then
yes, a lid
having
with
the,
yes, but we put a on this project. I don't know where we'll do it, but a lot of times we'll do like a perimeter fence. And not like a chain link fence, but just something more aesthetic. And then we'll use a similar, but a little bit more privacy, like basically a nice wood fence around them. Or sometimes, depending on what works best with the buildings, there'll be a concrete block enclosure that's built out of like a retaining wall, so it looks nice. I'm not exactly sure what it'll be. We'll work with the city on the final aesthetics and stuff on the project too. But yes, and eight dumpsters should be more than enough for the project. Because on a project like this, typically you'll have pickup 4 to 5 days a week anyways.
Yep.
So it's just something that when you have more usage, you just increase the pickup instead of increase the dumpster amount.
Yep. Thank you. Anything else from the commissioners? Okay. So this is a conditional use permit being requested, and under those circumstances, the Planning Commission must make, where applicable, the following affirmative findings. One, that the conditional use will, with such conditions as the Commission shall determine and attach, conforms to the purpose and intent of this ordinance and is in conformity with the comprehensive land use plan of the city. Two, that there is no factual demonstration of a substantial or appreciable negative impact on values to properties in the neighborhood from the proposed conditional use. Three, the conditional use will not result in the destruction, loss, or damage of a natural, scenic, or historic feature of major importance to the community. Four, that the conditional use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for uses permitted in the district as zoned. Five, that adequate utilities, access roads, stormwater management, and other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Six, that adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress in such a manner as to minimize traffic congestion and maximize public safety in the public streets. And seven, that the conditional use will be designed, constructed, operated, and maintained in a manner that is compatible in appearance with the existing or intended character of the surrounding area or neighborhood. It is staff's recommendation to approve with conditions, correct?
Yes.
Shall we go over those briefly?
Yeah. So staff recommendation approval with five different conditions. One, that the unique opportunities preliminary and final plat shall be approved by Planning Commission and City Council. Two, exterior property line setbacks abutting neighboring properties shall not alter from the zoning ordinance or variance will be required. As we went over earlier, they're well within their required setbacks in that instance. Three, stormwater ordinance shall be complied with and plans shall be approved by the engineering department. Four, all road improvements shall be coordinated with the City of Wilmer and Candy Ohio County and be financial responsibility of the developer. Five, parking lot layout shall adequately accommodate emergency vehicles. And six, the use shall meet all applicable local, state, and federal rules and regulations at all times.
For a project of this size and scope, that's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. There'll be a couple of conditions. They kind of are contingent upon each other, the plat and the planned unit development.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions about the conditions or any other questions regarding the proposal? Are ready to vote? This is a roll call vote. Commissioner Stanfis?
We need a motion.
I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. Is there a motion to move this forward?
I move to approve.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. This is a roll call. We're good
again?
Now?
Okay.
Commissioner Stanfis?
Aye.
Okay. Kimpling?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
Marchand?
Aye.
Seek?
Aye.
Kiergaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. 8 ayes, 0 nays, and the conditional use is agreed to. We will then open the 703 public hearing, unique opportunities preliminary plat, and we'll ask staff to move this forward again.
So, same project, same place. This is simply the subdivision that goes concurrently with the planned unit development. There should be this handout for those. I think we've got enough around the table. So they're proposing nine. They're proposing nine lots, one for each building, and then the parking lot will have four different parcels as well. and then there will be an outlot that will provide access to those landlocked parcels on the western side. Most parcels front County Road 5, as we've talked about. The two accesses are proposed off of the same road. Again, parcels are zoned R5. The northern portion has been annexed, like we talked about. I mentioned the setbacks again. That will be noted on the plat, the final plat, once that's put together. The conditional use permit has just been approved for it, and everything meets the planned unit development standards. As part of the plat process, we also get the department comments. So we talked about the ones from the county regarding County Road 5 and the lane extension. The fire chief marshal comments, he wanted to make sure that number of hydrants will be determined off of final building plans. That'll be a part of the building review process later. And the turning radius in the driveway around the buildings and garage have to meet the turning radius of their largest fire vehicle. Engineering Public Works, we've talked about the Western Interceptor and the sanitary sewer line that will be negotiated with the engineering department, and final agreement will be will take place with them. Utilities, Wilmer Municipal Utilities, water and electric are available and of adequate size. The 10-inch water main is on the west side of County Road 5, and electric three-phase is also in the designated area. They have requested a 10-foot utility easement along the exterior property lines, so just on like the northernmost, westernmost, southern, and easternmost lines for that electric. Other than that, staff recommendation to approve the preliminary plat with the conditions that the PUD is approved, declarations and covenants for that internal access outlot A be submitted to staff and recorded with the plat. The 10-foot utility easement shall be added along the exterior most property lines, and all of the department comments shall be met, adhered to, and any additional information supplied as requested.
Okay. Mr. Herzog, anything to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone who wishes to speak for or against the proposal, or simply have any questions? No? Okay. With that, then, I will close the public hearing, and we'll bring the matter before the commissioners.
Would the matter of the detention pond be included in this, or was that in the first?
It's included in both.
In both?
Yep.
Okay, so the water from all the parking lots is going to hit to the detention pond. Mm-hmm. Where is it going to go after that? Is it going back out to 7th Avenue, or where's the drainage system that it goes into?
To the west, I believe. There's natural flow to the west, so it will be sized so that the discharge of water off the site post-project does not exceed the discharge pre-project. So
it goes to the park?
No, there's a lot of farmland there, so at some point there will just be an overland outlet to the stormwater. And it'll be a set elevation.
So it's going to hit that ditch to go back to that slough then?
Ideally, yes. I mean, that's where it goes right now. That's where this site drains to right now, naturally.
Okay.
And by drainage law, you can't stop it. You can't impede it, but you can control it. You can direct it. So that's what this is doing.
And so whatever's flowing in there now, it will not be increased by this project.
That's correct.
And that's a...
ordinance requirement.
Thank you.
Yes, stormwater calculations will be provided for our engineering department to review, and the developer provides the pre-project and post-project flows. Mm-hmm. So,
and when they do the Western Interceptor extension, that's likely to be 48-inch as we've seen down in Southwest Wilmer? No.
18 probably.
18? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It reduces in size considerably going north.
But that's just for sewer.
That's just sewer. Yeah.
Sewer.
That's not storm. That's just sanitary.
No, with all the blacktop, there's going to be more runoff than there was when it's dirt.
That's why they collect it and hold it. Yeah. The rate of discharge cannot increase. Obviously, there will be more water that flows off the site, but the rate at which it's discharged off the site cannot be increased.
So this is something new. Once we approve the new subdivisions ordinance and now have findings of fact to read for subdivisions as well, so please bear with me. In reviewing major or minor subdivision applications under this ordinance, the Planning Commission and City Council shall consider all aspects of the proposed subdivision. Particular attention shall be paid to the width and location of streets, sidewalks, suitable sanitary utilities, surface drainage, lot sizes and arrangements, as well as requirements such as parks and playgrounds, schools, recreation sites, and other public uses when applicable. All of the following findings shall be made prior to the approval of a subdivision. 1. All the applicable provisions of the municipal code and ordinances are complied with, including, but not limited to, the zoning and stormwater ordinances. 2. There is no factual demonstration of a substantial or appreciable negative impact to the present and potential surrounding land uses. 3. The area surrounding the subdivision can be planned and developed in coordination and compatibility with the proposed subdivision. 4. The subdivision is consistent with the city comprehensive plan. 5. The subdivision preserves and incorporates the site's important existing natural, scenic, and historic features to the greatest extent possible. 6. All land intended for building sites can be used safely without endangering the residents by peril from floods, erosion, continuously high water table, severe soil conditions, or other menace. And 7, the subdivision can feasibly be served with public facilities, infrastructure, and services. And the developer will satisfy this ordinance's requirements for the construction of such public facilities and infrastructure. Is there anything else from the commissioners, or are we ready to vote on this? This will simply require a voice vote. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion to approve with conditions. Yes. Okay. And is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. It's just a voice vote. All those in favor of approving the preliminary plat signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right.
See you next Monday.
We'll be
here. That completes the public hearing.
Let's do introductions now.
Oh yeah.
Yes. let's for Christina's sake, let's do introductions now. Steve Gardner.
Rolf Stanfus.
Jeff Kimplane.
Christina Nelson.
Oh, I'm Jerry. I am. I'm Jerry Kierger. I'm the second newest person.
I'm just looking, and Christina's sitting with all the retired people over on that side. So I don't know what's up with that. But
do you want to come?
No, I'm not retired yet.
John Marshall.
Terry C.
Bruce Peterson.
Short timer, you don't need to know him.
Yeah, right.
Sarah, on the other hand, you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Next item of business is the Second Avenue Southeast Street vacation. Sarah?
Yes. So going to the other end of town.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. All right. Right around town. Slowly. It's officially been a year.
Yeah.
Getting there. Marcus Real Estate and the Elks have petitioned for vacation of a portion of 2nd Avenue southeast. It's a portion of street that is no longer constructed. There are no utilities in the road anymore. Historically, it was an access to Elm Lane Trailer Park. It's right across, more or less, from the Elks Lodge on Highway 12, but it's this portion right here. There's intention for future development along in this area. The Dennis Meeser Trust has sold this property to Marcus Real Estate with the intention that they will be platting it next, but the vacation has to occur first before that happens. So all utilities, private and public, were contacted, and nobody has any utilities in the area. So we will simply...
John? I was going to say technically he's going to leave that open, right? Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
So it's staff recommendation that we approve the resolution and forward it to City Council.
So this is the old Elm Lane Trailer Park that part of it juts into, and that's the parcel that they purchased and they're going to...
Yep.
How many commissioners were not here when Elm Lane existed?
I moved here right, I think, the year after it was removed.
Okay.
When I...
When was it removed?
Early 90s, we were thinking.
It was after 93. We fought with that guy for years, so it's all a blur to me.
had a short stint in the trailer house there. Buddy in my head when I stayed about a month.
That's right.
And I was out of there.
I
got my apartment.
At one time, it was a nice park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So was the one north.
Yep.
Mobile States?
When I first moved to town in 1982, I took a trailer there, and I don't think I ever saw the landlord again, but his last words to me were, "You live next door to the cat lady."
Yes. Okay.
And hijinks ensued. So.
Is that about your sitcom?
Yeah.
Something like that. All right, so... you just need a motion on this to approve the street vacation, correct?
Yep, and then it'll be a roll call vote because it has to be done by resolution.
Hmm.
Motion to approve the annexation, I mean the vacation.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right.
Just so the Planning Commission remembers, your resolution will go to the council. The council by charter has to conduct their own public hearing
on
a vacation, so it's... a two-prong approach here.
Yep. Gotcha. All right.
Typically, we talk...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the city's position? Is this a good move for the city?
Absolutely. We don't need it as public right-of-way. Okay. The development that's proposed for that site will provide benefits far beyond what this access area could. Plus, the site will still have access. It'll just be... it won't be dedicated access. Yeah. It'll be a private access in off the same street. So.
Yeah. I just was.
Yep.
Do we know what the future development plans are?
Not as of yet.
Not publicly, we don't.
He's going to take that into his return.
That's fine.
it's just one of the things we got to hold close to the vest.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. We have a motion, and did we have a... We had a second, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Sir, there's two parcels down in the south west corner and adjoining the area to be... Okay, there you go.
Yep. So this one is owned by the Elks, which is why they got pulled into signing the petition as well. And then this one is also owned by Marcus. They bought all of Neister's land. So there's... That's why they are looking at platting it, too. There's just some odd parcels left over that'll all be cleaned up with the future plat.
It's no meets and bounds mess is what they got in there, basically.
And once vacated, it will become part of the larger Marcus parcel.
Yeah.
Well, except the portion directly north of the Elks property, the Elks will pick up this 35 feet.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that's a 70-foot right-of-way. If it's only a 50-foot right-of-way, then you get 25 feet.
Elks farm in there.
There you go.
All right, anything else?
Wild elk are going to roam in that little spot.
All right, this... This is a roll call. Commissioner Stanfis?
Aye.
Kemplain?
Aye.
You have a motion?
Yeah.
We did, yep. Marchand?
Aye.
Seek?
Aye.
Kiergaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 8 ayes, 0 nays. The vacation is agreed to. Item number 6, reorganization. So.
All right. We need a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary. This will be the 3 that we vote on.
Okay. If anyone else wants to do this, you know, go ahead and say so. You won't hurt my feelings.
I make a motion that Steve continues as chair. Done such a fine job.
Do you have a motion for any of the other 2?
I'll remain vice chair. As far as secretary, who's that?
Jeff.
Chair, we'll go with Jeff, too.
Okay.
That's the trifecta here.
Could you now repeat that motion?
Do you want to open the door?
I move that we, Steve remain as chair, I remain as vice chair.
Make a motion with yourself.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, you can.
Hey. And Jeff is remain as secretary, unless someone else has.
You are allowed to indict yourself.
Yeah,
so.
I'm indicting my.
I'll nominate him then.
Usually it's just a motion to cast a unanimous ballot. Keep it simple.
Just like
I'll make
that.
That motion.
What? There you go.
Okay. I'll second it.
Very good. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the motion signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. Motion carries.
I'd like to thank the commission once again for avoiding a power struggle.
It was going to be
it's
a
just
tight
so messy.
Vote.
Yeah. Messy but necessary.
Yeah.
So, miscellany.
I have none.
All right.
What's the
question? I almost know what you're going to say, but
No.
Maybe it's not. Fence?
Fence.
Still working on it.
Okay.
Bruce will never see that completed.
At this point, I highly doubt it.
I think they're building it out of snow as we speak.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Here's a question on, just yes. a general yeah. question on it. Bruce, will that be all public hearing and that? That all the way up, will that be assessments and public hearings and stuff for all of that?
The council has not assessed for the interceptor.
Okay.
It's a trunk line.
It's a trunk line. So
they'll
won't
assess
cost,
for connections
cost to cost
to
any of the adjoining property owners?
There will be cost to the apartment developer because they're swapping that in place of sewer access charges to the other main on 5.
So
the engineered cost, their share of the cost for this project, and they'll probably pick it up from here to there. We think that that'll be cheaper than if we charged them a SAC fee. So
will that eventually go out to County Road 5 or?
I don't keep going north.
It'll keep going north on that tap by their apartments.
Yep. Okay. Follow the high ground. Mm-hmm. To the north.
And I would imagine
this
is
the low ground.
Once you get that in there, it's likely to spur some other development north of this.
Well, I think the Thorpe family is definitely going to continue to look to move property up there now that the matriarch of the family's gone.
Okay. Understood. All right. With that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Sure, why not?
Okay, thank you. Is there a second? Okay, I heard one somewhere. I saw Jeff's lips move. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.